I want to thank you again for doing the thing on Tuesday. That was a lot of fun, and I got a lot of great comments from the people who were there and also people who watched afterwards.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. And one of the things I really love is the fact that you're 21 years old. Is that right? And you're hitting LinkedIn hard.
Yeah. I mean,
why? From everything I've read about you and your cohort, you're supposed to be spending all your time on Snapchat or whatever the latest, greatest shiny object is. And here you are, 21 years old, and you just have really devoted yourself to LinkedIn. Why?
Yeah, it's actually exactly that. No one, or there's very little people who are so young on the platform. And so I knew that me having a presence on there would make a splash versus if I was a little bit older, a little bit more mature with a lot of experience. If I waited until then, the space would be way too crowded already. And so kind of me being there now, it makes me stand out so much more than if I was like 50 years old, had like all the medals under my belt, and I would just be like another number, because LinkedIn is a business platform. Everyone there is a business professional, however they consider it. So for me being 21 years old, it's like, crap, like, who is this girl? How come she has all this knowledge, or how come she can do this? And it kind of just like got people to look. It's the candy. That was my candy to get people to focus.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because if anybody looks on your feed or links to you via LinkedIn, you're going to see that Sarah isn't afraid to drop some F-bombs, isn't afraid to air some dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't afraid to be not just real, but oh my God, girl, be real, real. And that's part of that strategy, right? I mean, from my point of view, I look at what you're doing, and what you're doing is you're throwing a rock through a glass window, and that glass window is LinkedIn, or the perception of what LinkedIn is or should be.
Exactly. And I mean, it's not really it didn't start as a strategy. And like, this has been my personality since way back when. I used to fight a lot with my parents just because I was so rebellious. I wanted as much independence as possible. And so I just transferred all of that, all of me being a rebel onto LinkedIn. And then I started having a personal brand behind it. And so now it is part of my strategy, always keeping true to myself, making sure that I ruffle little feathers here and there, because I think it keeps it fresh. It keeps it interesting. I'm so sick of like everyone being a thought leader these days, because everyone thinks they are.
Well, it's funny. If you want to know the biggest flock of sheep that are walking around, it's the ones who put thought leader into their LinkedIn profile in some way or other, because everybody's a thought leader these days.
Yeah. And I love it when they have to tell you that they're a thought leader, or they have to tell you they're an influencer, because I mean, it's one thing if you say it yourself, but it's a whole nother ball game if someone tells you you're an influencer, because that means you're clearly influencing someone.
The thing is, just in the things that I've been watching you do, both in terms of video and articles and posts, you aren't doing what so many of those thought leaders, or what I like to think of as guru wannabes, you're not doing what they're doing. Yeah, you're actually creating something that's valuable. For example, I want to point to one of your articles, which is entitled Top 80 Creators on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And literally, you look through it, and one, it's a nice thing that you're promoting this young LinkedIn leaders evening thing in the guts of the list, but the list is really comprehensive when it comes to people who are doing quality stuff on LinkedIn. And I want to underline that word quality, because there are a lot of people doing stuff on LinkedIn, but it ain't exactly great quality. So this type of post is really valuable to someone who wants to know, okay, there's a lot of crap out there. Who are the ones who actually have some meat in their posts or their point of view? Who are the real thought leaders? And I think you've captured a really nice resource here in that single article.
Right. And kind of, I mean, a lot of, there was a big strategy behind that. And with articles, if you tag someone in an article, they actually don't get a notification about it. And so my intent for that article was not to become the most viral post I've ever made, because all of these leaders are tagged, or all of these awesome creators are tagged. It was just so my network could have a resource, exactly what you said.
Yeah, so it was a pure gift, not a, I'm giving you a gift and I expect one back.
No, like no one on my list knew it was happening. And then all of a sudden, it was probably like 2 or 3 weeks after the event, I made the post to help promote the event as well. And it was like 2 or 3 weeks past the event. And all of a sudden, I probably got like 100 connection requests. And every single connection request was either someone who read the article or someone named in the article. I was like, holy shit. Like, how did this get around? And it was people themselves, like a lot of my connections, a lot of my following, they reached out to those people on my list and said, hey, congratulations, you made it on Sarah's list. And all of a sudden, it gave me credibility. And all of a sudden, I made 80 new connections, which half of them I would never have imagined I would have ever been in touch with. And actually, Chantel was on a list as well.
Yeah.
So
well,
cool.
Well, it is totally cool. And that's what I want to really point out too, is that your goal from the very beginning was to provide value. That value was noticed by the people who read it and shared it and amplified it. And eventually that value found its way to the people on the list who then found you valuable.
Right.
It didn't start out with you kissing up, because there are a ton of kiss ups.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's mostly kiss ups if you ask me, but you found kind of a ninja way into the castle that not many people are doing, which is, I'm going to make someone else look great, which ultimately is going to make me look good.
Oh, absolutely. And what I've seen with LinkedIn is it always comes full circle. It might take a few weeks, a few months, but if you really, really want to provide value, like the value will come back to you. Like people will start noticing, people will start thanking you. And you kind of have to be so selfless about it to get that return. Because once you get it, like it's an addicting feeling. I want everyone to say, thank you so much for giving me something that I didn't know already. And I'm constantly on a search wondering, like, what don't people know and how can I give it to them?
One of the things about Sarah that you might have gotten a little bit of flavor of, and by the way, we're talking to Sarah Gross, who is a friend of mine, a brand new friend of mine on LinkedIn, because I shared something of hers, which I really like. Actually, the way it went down was this. Nonfiction Brandversity, where I do Facebook Lives frequently. I mentioned just in the course of one of the Facebook Lives, the article that Sarah wrote called How Stuff Works, LinkedIn Points. And we had a discussion about it in the Facebook Live. Big deal. I'm going to do what any good smart person should do on social media, which is reach out to someone that you don't know and say, hey, listen, just thought you might like to know we did this Facebook Live. If you'd like to watch it, it's here. It mentions you very favorably. So thanks very much. I really enjoyed the article. Bye-bye. And I didn't ask to link. And well, actually I did like 6 months ago, but you were ignored me, which is part of your strategy. No, we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it was a pure, I found value in this. I shared it. Those people found value in it. I'm just letting you know that we talked about you in a very positive way. You might want to check it out. You might not. Doesn't matter. Keep up the good work. Well, your response back was, how do I get on your podcast? And I said, well, now you're scheduled. So let's go. And that's why you're here today.
Yeah.
But that's how it works, right?
It's, you know, the reason why I was so quick to answer was because you weren't promoting yourself. I get messages, you weren't selling me anything. You were just you were actually selling me. And that's what I was like blown away. I'm like, this guy knows about me and he's talking to this Facebook group. And like, why didn't I know about this group before he was talking about me?
Well, it's brand new. That's why I didn't know.
No, but like, you didn't ask me to like it. You didn't ask. I get a lot of, could you give me feedback on that, on this? And what people don't realize is every single, it's yes, it might take me 2 seconds to give you feedback, but it's a lot of work for me, especially when you're one of like maybe 100 people. And so what I really appreciated with your note was you're just saying, hey, this is what I did. I hope you like it. And I just wanted to let you know it's there. You didn't like pester me to watch it. You didn't pester me to kind of give my feedback. And that's why I'm like, I'm happy to help. And like, I'm happy to join your community. And that's kind of like how business should be, you know, like don't ask for favors until you give one. And you gave me a favor, not knowingly, and I'm here to return it.
Well, and I really appreciate it because again, the articles, the videos that you're putting out are fun and different. And I think of them as nutritious. There's actual value there. There's a lot of Twinkies that are being served up on LinkedIn, a lot of sugar rush calorie garbage. And it may be attractive. It may make you feel good for a little bit, but then you walk away and go, what did I get out of that? And the answer typically is nothing other than I now know that person's name, which actually is the strategy, which is know me, self-aggrandizement, you know, fluff yourself. And I don't dig that at all. And the other thing I'll say about Sarah, again, Sarah Gross, G-R-O-S-Z.
That's it.
So look her up, Sarah with an H, G-R-O-S-Z on LinkedIn. I'm going to say this to your face. You, young lady, might not be everybody's cup of tea.
Oh, definitely not.
And I love you for it because guess what? I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm not a troll. I'm not trying to poke people in bad ways or anything like that. But I also want to challenge. I want to be challenged. I want to throw out a provocative statement that might get a little bit of response back. And some people do not want to be challenged ever. They are very judicious with their language. And young lady, once again, your language is, I think there are sailors that could learn from you, especially in the way you write.
Don't tell my mom.
Well, your mom's not on LinkedIn, I take it. But that's okay because I sense that you are I am what I am. Love me if you do. And if you don't, that's okay too.
Right. And it's also kind of a mindset too, because I'm always looking to grow. And I'd like to say I have a growth mindset. And so if you're so comfortable with yourself and what you're doing, there's no opportunity for you to take yourself to the next level. If I'm saying something that's so out of the blue, that gives me the opportunity to meet new people, express new ideas, see what other people are thinking. And if I'm so straight lined and straight edged, I miss out on all those opportunities.
There's a social media expert I love to quote, just because it's so darn simple, but illustrative. The concept from Chris Ducker. I don't know if you know Chris Ducker, but he's a really fantastic global phenomenon when it comes to social media and building communities and things like that. And he likes to say he's a Brit, so he's got this British accent. So, and he'll say, market like a magnet, attract the best and repel the rest. And he literally says it that way. And I sat in his talk at Social Media Marketing World this past February, and I was like, oh, nice bumper sticker, dude. And then I started thinking about it going, yeah, that's a pretty darn meaty bumper sticker, because I'm still thinking about that, which is, of course, why am I trying to impress people who, when they get to know me, really don't like me that much?
Yeah.
Why don't we start there and you learn why you should love me and what I can do for you and how we can work together, or how we can become friends or build a relationship, things like that. So I almost feel like your post writing is a litmus test for people. If you can handle the caliente, we can have a really nice Tex-Mex dinner. But if you don't like caliente, stick to the mac and cheese. I don't serve that. I serve caliente, you know, hot and spicy with an attitude.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
And it's kind of relates to an experience that I had actually a few years ago. In college, I was the president of the Entrepreneurship Club, and I was able to build it up to like 500 students in the membership, and it was this massive thing. And kind of the issue was, we had so many people saying that they're a member. Where's the meat? Like, who is actually showing up? And so vetting through all these people, I found like an insane group of students who would always show up. They would always sit in the front row. They would always communicate, always follow up with the entrepreneurs that we were bringing in. And those were the people that I wanted to not only know and have a relationship with, but like help bring up. And that's, I've seen that exact experience just translate over to LinkedIn. I want to connect with people who are constantly commenting, constantly engaging. They reach out to people and they're ruthless. And those are like the magnets. They are super interesting people. You'll never know. You don't know what is actually under the hood until you actually have to ask, well, why are you on LinkedIn? Why are you commenting? Why are you connecting with these people? I think that's just such a cool quote that you said.
It kind of relates to something that we talked about on a previous podcast with Don Stanley, who's a University of Wisconsin instructor that deals with personal branding on a big level and has been teaching it since the turn of the century, literally, you know, like 2004, he started teaching personal branding, which, you know, is certainly a buzz phrase today in 2018, going on 2019 practically, but he's been talking about it for, you know, 15 years at least. And he pointed out to me that he always makes his clients and his students read an article that Kevin Kelly, the founder of Wired Magazine, wrote called 1,000 True Fans. And all about, the idea is that if you have 1,000 true fans and they can pay you $100 a year, that converts to $100,000 and a salary that I would be more than happy with, especially if I only had worked about 1,000 people instead of the billions on the face of the earth, right? So why am I trying to attract bad relationships with more people when I could have tighter, better relationships with people who get me, I get them, and we agree to run the way we are rather than try to sand off some of the edges that may be there. Now, I'm a big one for being kind and being generally positive, but when I say positive, I mean 51% positive. I mean, just over the threshold, because I'm a natural contrarian and a little bit of a cynic. But as a friend of mine once said, the definition of a cynic is a disappointed romantic. You know what the world should be?
That's right.
And the cynic knows it can never be that way. So that's where the bitterness comes from. I'm just telling you. Okay. So when we did the Facebook Live on Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group that we have, by the way, any listener can join at any time. Simply search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. It's absolutely free. And since I'm the guy who approves whether you're a member or not, you're in, guaranteed.
And but, I have to vouch, it's a great group. It's an awesome group.
Cool. Well, and people like you are going to make sure that it stays that way. I think of it as bubbling. I want it to be fermenting, kind of like a fine champagne in a barrel just waiting to be tapped. Or I don't know if they do barrels for champagne, but it doesn't really matter. The idea is that there's this effervescent quality of people asking questions, people chiming in. Not everybody agrees. And that's such a big part of what we want to do. But the whole 1,000 fans idea is kind of what Nonfiction Brandversity is about. We don't want this to be huge. We want it to be good. To me,
yeah.
I can't think of anything that's huge that's really, really good. And I would rather focus on fewer better than more and bigger.
Yeah. You know, I was actually going through the group today, this morning, and there was just a question that I was absolutely blown away. And I was driving to work, and so I didn't have time to respond. But this woman was so genuine, and she said, you know what? I was laid off yesterday. And here's my story. It's not because I'm an awful worker. It's not because I'm an awful person. Actually, they loved me at work. And she was just saying her story. And like, I had to like pull over and read it. I was like, oh my God. And not only did she explain her situation, but she asked for genuine feedback. And then just the comments that she was getting, it was like maybe 10 minutes in, I think you commented on it. Someone else said that they already messaged her and like started a conversation with her. And it was just like such a cool kind of thing, because you started it maybe 2-3 months ago. And
people
can already get that deep in their life and accept advice from maybe people that you don't know and you don't get to know that well in 2 or 3 months. But clearly there's something there. It's insane. It's awesome.
Well, you know, there are greeting cards at holidays, right? And Christmas cards, Hanukkah cards, whatever. People are putting them out there. And a lot of people send them so they get some back. You know, it's like we're getting, I'm calling out my wife, Elizabeth, on this, but we're getting Christmas cards from people we haven't seen in 25, 30 years, practically. And we still get them. Why? Because she sends them. So it's like, well, you sent me one, I got to send you one back. And that kind of quid pro quo Christmas or holiday card thing. Okay, that's cool. But how about instead, I give a card only to those people that I really enjoy, that I really appreciate, that I really engage with on a regular basis. Instead of a reflexive quid pro quo, you sent me a card, I send you one. How about instead, I'm giving you a pure gift. I don't expect anything back. I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. What happens when you do that? Pretty much what you did with my thing to you, which was, oh my God, you're not asking anything of me. I'm going to give you something because you didn't ask. You know, it's a technique, but it's also coming from the heart because I'm not a numbers chaser. I don't ever want to be. And that's why my numbers are pretty low in the grand scheme of things, but I don't care because I want to find those 1,000 true fans. And again, thank you, Don Stanley, for bringing that to my attention. Because again, that's another mimetic idea that's stuck in my head. It's like, yeah, why am I trying to be everybody's best friend? Instead, I could be the really best friend of a fewer number of people. That's very, very cool.
Yeah. And I think I've struggled with that too, especially going back into school. I was never really like popular and kind of like, I don't talk to anyone I went to high school with just because I'm not the same person. And I think a lot of people, when they realize that they don't need all these followers or all of these likes and comments and everything, like it's okay to change. And people like helping you. They don't necessarily might like helping you change, but they like seeing the transformation. When I can tell you, like, I know people in high school, they're adding me on LinkedIn. Like yesterday, I got maybe 3 or 4 connection requests from people way back, like 10 years ago, who knew me as like this party goer and kind of like the person who's struggling to fit in. And now they're like, holy shit, this is who she actually is. And just like kind of figuring out who you are and allowing yourself to change, the followers will find you because once you're comfortable with yourself, you can start being your own leader instead of being a follower to someone else's leadership. And that's really what I found.
Yeah. Well, I want to point out without going into detail, obviously we mentioned your age. I'm not going to mention mine, but let's just say I could be your father. And on a bad day, I could be your grandfather. And here's the thing. Normally, someone with my years on the planet and experience in the business and whatever might look upon you as, oh, who the heck are you, girl? You don't know anything. There's nothing I can learn from you, but boy, I can teach at you all day long. And yet that's not how I feel about you at all, because I learned from you before I ever met you. You built that credibility in my mind so that I was really excited when you wanted to have a conversation like this, because I'm not going to agree with everything you say. I might take violent issue at some of it, but I know you can handle the conversation. Can you handle the heat? Can you, if I whip that baseball right into your glove as hard as I can and it stings a little bit, are you going to stop playing or are you going to whip it back?
Oh, no, I'm going to whip it right back.
Well, I love that kind of back and forth. Tell me I'm wrong. Prove to me I'm wrong. Wow, I am wrong. Because that's how I learn. That's how I stay young. The mental plasticity that I keep trying to work on comes from having an open mind and being able to find not necessarily younger people, but younger people who have something to teach and share. And you've demonstrated that on LinkedIn, which is why I'm so excited to have you in this conversation and others.
Yeah. And it just gets so stale if you, I don't know, like I always see a lot of posts and you can see people. What does great on LinkedIn is controversy always does great. That's why I have been able to get a big following, but then also vulnerability, showing people that you're not this strong, hearty person. It's tough because some people are too vulnerable, and it's me as like a viewer, it's tough to engage because you don't want to hurt people's feelings. And then again, like, I don't know if you're so vulnerable, and there's this massive kind of breakdown in your life, I think there's like a big disconnect between being vulnerable and like knowing yourself. because I think a lot of people who are letting themselves out there, they need a change. And that's kind of where I saw my pivot is, okay, I'm stuck doing what I'm doing every day. I'm like, this isn't working for me. And all of a sudden I made that change and I started posting on LinkedIn and kind of like expressing what I loved to do on LinkedIn. And people were like, oh, well, you can't do this. And that's exactly kind of like, just because I was strong enough to say my opinions about things and kind of like be vulnerable in my own way, people were able to say their opinions because I'm strong enough to take it. Exactly. And I don't know, there's a lot of people out there that I think say that they're okay and accepting of opinions, but then you give it to them and there's no conversation. And that's what I love is the conversation around opinions.
Hey everybody, this is DP. I'm sitting here editing this episode and we like to try to keep them around 25 minutes in length. Well, here's the thing. Sarah and I went on to talk for another 45 minutes, so I'm going to cut this episode short, but create a next episode that includes the conversation exactly where we left off. So thanks for listening to the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I hope to see you around Nonfiction Brandversity on the free Facebook group. Just ask to join and you're in. But that's all for now. I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.